is Rose from New Mexico. Me and my husband just got married about 8 months ago, and I'm going to be 62. He's going to be 64. His daughter had drug issues. All her kids ended up foster care. We are in the process of adopting 7 grandchildren. And I've never had children before, and it's been a long time for my husband. I was just wondering if anybody out there would have any helpful hints on adoption issues with kids and all of that.
62. Did you say 7? 6? A bunch of grandkids, right? 7 grandkids. Never had kids before. All right, grandparents. Ready to unite. We need some help here. I'll tell you what. If you are a grandparent and you have stepped in, maybe not adopted, but you stepped in to help provide support, maybe adopted, having taken care of your grandkids, the motorhome didn't pan out, you know, all the things you thought were going to happen. And maybe you're feeling a little cheated, taken advantage of, maybe blessed, overwhelmed, certainly broke. I don't know. But here's the question. For Rose and for others who are listening, maybe stepping into the role to give support for those grandkids, which can be a great blessing, but also, let's just be honest, it can be stressful as well. What is one thing that you have learned that would help another grandparent who's facing some similar, maybe a little story is a little different, but some similar situation, having to step in and needing to step in to help? Because listen, this is a huge stat today. The numbers are huge on the number of grandparents, kids moving back in with their kids into their home, parents who, for any number of reasons, from addiction to imprisonment or whatever, needing to step in and take care of those grandkids. What is one thing you have learned you want to communicate? All right. Phone line is now officially open. 888-888-1717. Live. Today, I'm Dr. Randy, along with our entire team here in Intentional Living Center. Jennifer, Stephen, and Gino, and all of our Facebook friends, thank you for joining us. If you want to post a comment anytime, we'd love to hear from you. We always appreciate your feedback. Share with others. Tell them about Intentional Living. Hey, here's something that's going to give you some help and hope and encouragement for your journey. That's why we're here. All right? That's an assignment for you. 888-888-1717 is the phone number. Let's get started with Sandra from Michigan. Hey, Sandra, welcome to the program. What's going on with you?
Well, I'm a grandmother and a great-grandmother, and I even have a little small business that I work out of my home. But ever since my 6 kids were growing up, I helped with 4 of my daughters with their babies. I let them live here. I helped with the grandchildren. With one daughter, I let her work, and I stayed home with the child. Right now, I have a grandson in prison. I send him money. I write him letters. I go to see him. My feeling about this whole thing is just what Jesus said to the apostles. Suffer little children to come unto me. And when you do that, they're coming unto Jesus because you're a servant, and you're in his place, and you're there because there isn't anybody to stand in the gap. Today a grandson came, he'd lost his job, his phone isn't on, and if you know anything about young kids, if their phone's not on, they're destitute. So I said, okay, come on, let's go to wherever we have to, let's pay the bill. And I paid it for 2 months. Now he says to me, I'm going to pay you back, Grandma. I said, listen, don't worry about it. Your grandfather would want that. My husband is gone. But you know, Randy, I've learned something. When you give unselfishly and you don't say no and you're always there, it's like God multiplies this overwhelming joy in you and grace. And I know people talk about tough love, but for me, it's just got to be all love. Because their parents don't exactly know, but they have a place to come if they're desperate. And I want to be that source as long as I live. And love sums up the law and the prophets. Christ said that. So, I mean, anybody who's got just enough money, don't get turned off because they say, Grandma, I need $50, or don't get turned off. Just say, okay, come on, let's do it.
All right. Listen, you're quite the grandma. Listen, Sandra, I appreciate it. I know some are thinking, now, wait a minute, are we enabling these kids? Are we enabling parents to be irresponsible? Well, that's a question. And boy, the stories are just numerous and the lines are busy here in our center. Because I know many of you, maybe on both sides of this equation, maybe you were one that your grandparents stepped up and kind of rescued you and took care of you and loved you and provided for you. Or on the other hand, maybe you're a grandparent, or maybe you're a parent today and just saying, hey, I've got to have that help, and I don't know what to do. Listen, we're all in this together. Families are in this. The question is, what's one thing that's helped you understand? Because there's over 2.7 million grandparents in this country right now today taking care of their kids. Probably many more when you think about part-time and those that are helping because of the needs with the parents. All right. You can come and join us. 888-888-1717 is my phone number. Love to have you join us like Cindy has from Georgia. Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are y'all doing today?
Good, good. Go right ahead. What is this? Are you a grandparent helping out?
I am a grandparent, and I do help out. I have 8 grandchildren, but we also adopted children. So I've got perspective from what that was like to enter in that journey that we were not really familiar with when we started it. But for your guest today, at first I just want to say I'm praying for her. And I know that is a huge decision, especially since she's never had children. But in that, it will take a lot of knee time, a lot of prayer time, because there will be things that happen that you thought never would happen, whether that's the parents decide that they want to create an issue down the road legally, or if they just want to try to come into the household and be a part of it, and you've got everything situated. I don't know the ages of the children or not. Ours were in the first, second, and third grade, but their mother did not find them when we adopted until they were, one was in college, had a full ride scholarship to college, and another one was graduating, and another one was fixing to graduate, and it derailed a lot of things for my children when their mother came in, because she promised all of these things. And I'm not saying that she did it intentionally, but it caused a child with a full ride scholarship to leave school. And it caused another one to not graduate and to move back to their home state and not have enough credits in that state to be able to graduate. So he did not, and ended up with a GED. And the other one refuses to even let her be a part of the life, but she showed up at his graduation, and we had to ask them to leave our property when they came by one night. And so there is a lot of drama.
Yeah.
But the rewards of doing that, when you know that God has called you to do that, and we knew, our story is one where we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt God had told us to adopt.
But also, what I hear you saying, Cindy, what I hear you saying too, though, Cindy, is, listen, you can enter into this with a lot of love, but be realistic too. You got issues, you got politics, you got legal, you've got relationships, and you can't work all those things out. You can't solve all those problems initially. They're going to come over time, just like in any life, any family. But being aware of it, I think, is the key for sure. All right, Cindy, thank you for your call. I got to move on. I got Carol standing
by.
No God
problem.
Bless you.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
Glad you're listening in beautiful Georgia. Let's go to Carol in New Mexico. Hi, Carol. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
I have one word.
All right.
And that one word is prayer.
Mm.
And I would say it over and over again, prayer, prayer, prayer. Because I raised my children, at least most of the way, by myself. The boys went to live with their dad, which was a good thing, because I didn't have a clue about boys. I was raised an only child. But later on, as I'm working full-time, I ended up with custody of three of my five grandchildren, and it was unavoidable. Parents were not able to take care of them, but praise God, I was able to send them home. Because in your 50s, you don't want to be raising eight-year-olds.
So what one thing did
and
you
that's
learn?
What I did for a while.
You pray for prayer.
I learned prayer, absolutely, and a good church, a good Bible preaching church will help you. The members of the church will sometimes help and sometimes not. And then more prayer is needed.
Yeah, and then you find out who your real friends are, and I think that's a really important point. I say this to every grandparent. If you're overwhelmed, maybe you've taken on a lot of responsibility, because it's easier to take it on than it is to get it back, right? And be willing to reach out and say, I need some help. It's okay. Just say, hey, I need some support. I need some structure. You need some rules. You need some routine. You need all that kind of stuff. And I think, as Cindy said a moment ago, you can't let the drama of other people come in and damage or destroy the routine and the structure that you're setting in the home. If you're taking that responsibility, then you also need to have the right to make sure that you're doing it in a way that's going to be in the benefit of the kids and yourself and your family. All right, Carol, thank you for your call from New Mexico. Karen, hang on. Be with you in a moment. But first, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go away.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Lamentations 3:25, it says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. And I thought I'd close with that, that the ultimate thing is seeking Him. Developing a craving for God, as I put this down, it's really a habit. We've talked about habit formation before, and we know that habits only become permanent in our life when they're attached to a craving. We know this psychologically, that without a craving, you can't develop a habit. Probably very few of you have a habit of broccoli. Any of you just have a deep craving that you wake up at 3 a.m. needing broccoli? No. No. I always joke about 10 o'clock at night, ready to go to bed, it's time to have a bowl of cereal. Just time of day, it's 10 o'clock, cereal time. You know, hello. But you ever notice that? There's certain things that sets out moods, times of day, people, words, lots of situations that can set off a habit. Can we develop a craving for Christ?
Well, you know, that is a factual, research-based approach to understanding habit formation. We have to have a craving to really lock that thing in like a glue. And so when we have a craving for God, we have a craving for health, we have a craving for our marriage in a healthy way. Listen, that is what helps us stick and make it work. And this month, it's a two-part lesson that I've wrapping up on the experiencing hope topic. How do you experience hope? And one of the ways you experience it is develop the right kind of craving in your life. That lesson this month, transformational, it's going to all of our members around the United States. We send it out digitally, both video and audio. And for all those of you who are joining the Intentional Living Journey today, in prayer and financial support to help us with our listener-supported ministry, we'll make sure you receive it as well. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on Donate, or during West Coast business hours, call 888-888-1717 and press number 2.
I was calling to leave a message about being a grandparent, raising her grandchild. My name is Tony. I live in Buckeye, Arizona. I was just going to talk about my daughter was on drugs, and we prayed for her to get off. She ended up getting pregnant and had a baby, and I was determined that I wasn't going to take care of the baby because it was going to be too much for me. And I was going to enjoy my time with my husband and our freedom, and I was angry. Well, long story short, they came to live with us, and my daughter is completely off drugs, going to school to become a registered nurse. And I actually absolutely love taking care of my granddaughter, who's now 3 and a half. We have a great relationship, and that's basically what I was going to say. Okay, thank
Amen.
You.
Bye. Amen. That's something we give out a shout to say, thank you, Lord, for what you did in the life of Tony and that daughter and those grandkids. That can happen. It's a miracle. You're making a difference. You're impacting lives. It's an opportunity to do something pretty spectacular, frankly, for a future generation that maybe we'll never see as we get older and we look down the road to know that we're sending those grandkids into a time that we may never see, as my mother used to say, but for God's glory, powerful. All right, you can join us. Here's the question. Your grandparent, you've been raising those grandkids or helping out with those grandkids. What one thing have you learned? One thing you could just honestly share. How did you deal with maybe feeling like you've been cheated a little bit? Some of the plans you had for this stage in life didn't pan out. Did you feel like you were taking advantage of? How'd you manage that? Did you feel like your son or daughter just are irresponsible? How'd you handle that? Did you feel blessed, overwhelmed, or just broke? I don't know. Give us a call. Share one thing. 888-888-1717. Karen is in Arizona. Hi, Karen. How you doing?
Hey, Dr. Randy. I'm doing super. I hope you are.
I am. Good day. This is fun. We're learning a lot, and sounds like you have something you want to add. Go right ahead.
My husband and I started raising our beautiful grandchildren, ages 11 and 9, 4 years ago. I'm 54 years old, and my husband Tom's 67. Something you just don't expect to do. That circumstances were, we stepped up. Certainly didn't want our grandchildren to go into the system, and we're all of a sudden raising grandchildren that were pretty browbeaten and low self-esteem and had gone through a pretty traumatic experience, and I had to rely on the Word of God and put them in front of the mirror and told them that circumstance, what had happened to them, did not label them. It did not have anything to do who God intended for them to be, that they were created in the image of Almighty God, and things happen to us, but they are strong, they are chosen, and I used scripture, and before I knew it, Dr. Randy, in just a matter of a couple of months, the light within my children, those grandchildren, just started sparkling, and they got a skip in their walk, and you can ask them, you know, one of them loves the scripture, I am never alone. He will never leave me nor forsake me. When we first got the little grandson, he could not part from my leg. He just had that separation anxiety. And now I see him and I drop him off at school, and he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Simple scripture that they started hearing and then saying. They started seeing themselves as that. And that's what God intends. And so for me, just giving them what the Bible shares with us all, simple scriptures, I saw a huge difference in our grandchildren. And I'm continuing to see it daily. And it actually got me to do a little book that I'm getting ready to promote. It's on order. Mirror, mirror in this book, who does God say I am? And it's 10 little mirrors that are audio. And I believe that, you know, even us as adults, we have to be so careful. Circumstances, if it's a handicap, environmental, whatever it is, if we're not careful, we can allow that to label us.
That's right.
And that's not God's intention. It is not His intention. We are powerful with Him. And so I believe if these grandparents, it's not something we choose to do, but we step up and we do it, don't do it alone. Mm. Do it with God and do it with your church community, your family, and the support. God will open those doors.
Amen to that. Thank you, Karen. Send me the book when you get it done. Because, you know, the scripture teaches in Philippians 4:8 that whatever is true, whatever is right and admirable, praiseworthy, of good report, that we are to think on those things. Paul goes on to say that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, the spirit of our minds. He tells us that we're to take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. And I'll tell you what, and I say this, maybe you grew up in a lousy environment. Maybe you had just crummy parenting that was a part of your life. Come on. Don't buy the lies that you were told or the self-lies that you told yourself, because Karen just said the truth. You are loved, and no matter how we're raised, we are still loved. God doesn't love those who were raised in a great home better than those who were raised in a crummy home. He loves us, and you are a creation. I mean, look at your fingerprints. I mean, you're the only one with those fingerprints, the only one that can track you down with your DNA. There's something pretty special about God's imprint on your life. And so that's a word to those of you who maybe reflect on a program like today with some pain. Karen reminds us, good opportunity. Thank you. Let's take that break. We'll be back. Victoria, hang on.
The Bible is full of ways believers in Christ can experience hope. In part two of Dr. Randy's teaching, How to Experience Hope, he continues to go through the Bible and reveals 6 verses that show us how to experience hope from a biblical perspective. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you a blog, along with a video or audio of this teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. To receive this month's special offer, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hi, this is Crystal from Tucson. I'm calling to say that the grandparents adopting 7 children are going to need a huge amount of patience and support, hopefully from a big church family that has a program where all the children can be involved, live in a place that's got big enough room for chores and a garden that they can all be involved with and helping each other. I don't know how old they are, but the finances would really help if you could have a place in the country there where they would have room to run and play. And they're going to have issues getting to this point in their life, so it's going to take a lot of time and effort working with them. And you'll need prayers. Be involved in your church. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Crystal. Listen, good advice, good counsel. If you just joined us, we're talking about grandparents coming again, going again in this parenting thing of raising their grandkids, providing for their grandkids, maybe even adopting those grandkids. Over 2.7 million, that's got to be a low number. I bet you it's much higher than that. The number of grandparents that are stepping in the gap here in this country alone to provide for their grandkids. And Jennifer, you were telling me before you were watching a TikTok video or something that was mentioning that Gen X grandparents are struggling with this, maybe more than the baby boomer.
Kind of being called out, if you will, by their children, saying, because they're saying Gen X parent or grandparents don't want to take care of the grandkids, and so their kids are upset with them. So I'm not sure how true this is across the board, but I guess I could see that being a problem.
You've seen some videos like that.
Yeah.
So they're so the baby boomers are better at this. I don't
I guess
know
so
they're older. Old. All right. Listen, we're talking about grandparenting here. And I promised to get Victoria on before we run out of time. And everybody on the phone, hang on, because we're going to talk to you after we go off the air and record for the show later in the week. We want to hear your story. So hang on. All right, Victoria, welcome to Intentional Living today. Go right ahead.
Hi. So I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I, 47 years, have been together. We had 3 biological children. We fostered 41 children. Wow. And adopted 7 of our grandchildren from 2 of our children.
So what do you do when you're on your days off? I'm just kidding. I understand.
That never exists. But what kept me going was really God. I had to put him first because everything seemed to have been falling apart. Nothing was working. And the system is not set up to really help grandparents or any kinship, because we've got aunts and uncles who are also raising children from a family member. And the system is not set up for that. For me, in the beginning, I was very depressed because I felt ashamed and guilt that my son felt it was okay to be on the street doing drugs when I thought we were doing everything right for them. So I went through that and then started with his daughter, who was born medically fragile because he met someone on the street doing drugs. So then we had this little bitty baby who was medically fragile that was not given... was not going to survive according to the doctors, but she's now 31 and doing well, because you can't eliminate the power of God and the strength of a grandparent who's fighting for their children.
Yeah, amen to that. Listen, Victoria, I don't know. I mean, you talk about the numbers of kids you've invested your life into right there in your home, and we joke about what do you do on your days off. There are no days off for you. Because you got a commitment to step in the gap. Wow, that's humbling. Thank you, Victoria, from Phoenix, listening today. Tell you what, we're out of time for the show live today. But the good news is we're just going to stay right here in the studio, because we've got on the phone Tom, Judy, Sheila, Kathy, and others. And you just hang on, because we want to hear your story. But we're going to record them to air later this week, okay? We're trying to be efficient and make sure that we can take advantage of all these great stories. So maybe you have someone you know who's a grandparent struggling with this or feeling discouraged or overwhelmed. Have them listen to the show today, maybe on Facebook. You could pass it along to some friends, share it with others, or say, hey, it's going to be on later in the week as well. Find out about Intentional Living. Give them access. They can hear it online. They can hear it on their local radio station or on our podcast and be a part of it. If you'd like to join us, we're going to reopen the phone lines right now, and we'll be talking to you in a few moments. If you're a grandparent, raising those grandkids, helping with those grandkids, what one thing has helped you? 888-888-1717. I want to say a special thanks to those of you who have been praying for us and supporting the ministry. We're totally listener-supported. All of our support comes from you all, and your support makes it possible for us to do this. We're a little bit behind this month where we need to be. I'll just say that. And then leave it with you. And thank you for stepping up to continue this message. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 888-888-1717. For Jennifer, Stephen, and Gino and our Facebook friends, have a great day. And we'll see you again tomorrow right here from Intentional Living.